Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Mimi from Hidden Mysteries, and welcome to a brand new show on May 6, 2015. And my co-host, Reverend Maria DeAndrea, is here as usual. Hi, Maria.
Hi. We're so excited about this show, among others.
Well, among others. Being that we've just started having spring, we thought a really good subject would be about the topic of Mother Earth. So, but just before we begin that, I want to just introduce Reverend Maria in case anybody has not tuned into our show as yet. Reverend Maria is an internationally known psychic from Budapest, Hungary, and a European shaman. And she is also a published author and a spiritual life coach, a metaphysical practitioner, and a public speaker who has traveled to many places to speak on various spiritual, psychic, and paranormal topics. And you could check out Maria's information on a website at mariadeandrea.com, or you can use the links below our show's description here on Blog Talk to go visit Maria at a website and check out her books that she has authored. I've personally researched many topics on the paranormal spirituality for many years and produced a local cable show for 14 years on that very subject. You know, when you get a chance, visit mquestmedia.com so you can see various segments of MQuest TV that devotes topics of this nature to it and articles on SoulQuest, our newsletter. And if you would like to speak with Maria at the end of the show, you can get in touch with her at 631-559-1248. Or you can call us right now if you would like to comment or have a question about tonight's topic at 929-477-1080. So we're going to be talking about Mother Earth. And when people hear of Mother Earth or Mother Nature, we tend to think of a motherly figure dressed in like a Grecian garb, strolling through a forest and capriciously wreaking havoc on anyone who might endanger her perfect oasis. Mother Nature has always been the symbol of creation and nurturing, and as a myth, goes back to ancient Greek times. The American Indian culture also believed that there is an earth mother that provides the water of life that gives them the abundant provision of food. In our contemporary world, however, she has become synonymous with climate shifts, global warming, and to whom we are doing all manner of wrong to bring this planet to a deadly halt. But what is our real connection to her, our spiritual connection, that is? So, Maria, what is Mother Earth in simple terms?
Well, if you go past the scientific portion of how the Earth was formed, basically everything is energy. Mother Nature, the Earth, is all energy at different vibrational levels. So when we're talking about Mother Earth, we're talking about us, different planets, animals, minerals, vegetables as an example, the plant kingdom, because everything in the universe is energy just at different vibrations and different forms. And everything has its own energy field. So when you look at it that way, we're all intertwined with the energies of the planet. So we mesh within it, you know, within the same energies, and the same energies go through and surround us, so we're very connected to it. So when we send positive energy out, as an example, we are literally sending healing love energy to the planet when we do that consciously.
Right, right. Yeah, because we're all a part of one another. We're a connecting force to this planet. You know, what we feel, it feels as well.
I think so too. Well, you know, I like the Native American outlook. Well, even though the Native American outlook, this part, is talking about connecting to other people, it actually also includes planets, stars, you know, anything that is formed or in the non-visible world. Basically, the way I look at it is that there's a gigantic spider web, and each soul, all of us, and the planet and everything with energy related is on that web. So if one person, as an example, shakes the web, it affects everybody, because when you look at a spider's web, the whole web moves. So by sending an extra healing energy, you know, by sending that out, we really help to change things. You know, we're helping to move things. So, however, the planet has the capability to heal itself without us. Okay. It was here before us, and it goes through its natural cyclical changes. So planetary energy has its own vibration, and it's actually been recorded that the vibrations per second of Earth is 100,000 vibrations per second. So as humans, we are on a lower vibrational level. So they say it's about 80,000 vibrations per second. But when somebody is in the process of healing, as an example, okay, at the moment that the healer is working, their energy actually has been tested to match the 100,000 vibrations per second of the planet. So we're very, very in tune. Okay. And Mother Earth doesn't really need us in order to survive, but our energy is still beneficial. It's like many people think we have to help the planet, or they're thinking it's dying. You know. However, the planet goes through shifts or cycles, and it recharges itself periodically if you really look at history. It's a little bit more like a battery.
Right. Now, did you say that humans have 80,000 vibrations per second? Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It ranges.
Well,
so it's not limited that everybody's 80,000, but it's around there. It's in that range.
I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, you know,
not that far away,
100.
Really.
Yeah, it's not that's pretty damn good. You know, I was like thinking it might be.
We
even
should
like
be proud
lower.
Of ourselves.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of that. You know, that we're only like 20,000 vibrations per second off. I mean, hey, you know.
And listen, at least you know somebody that's in a healing mode. Well, among other situations, but basically, when a healer is in the process of healing, the vibration actually raises to the planet of the energy. The energetic forces, and that's why we can speed up natural healing process, because we're in tune. It's not that the Earth is in tune with us, it's that we're all of a sudden in tune with the energies of the Earth, of Mother Nature. You got to love it, right?
Yeah, it's really fascinating. Now, for those who wish to add their healing energy to this planet, what would you tell them to do, and how can people forge like a stronger connection to their realm, which is a very live one at that?
You know, there are several methods, actually. One of the ones that I like is when we're tuning into nature. So as an example, if you're more into spiritual things and if you like to work from the spiritual realm, you would want to call in fairies or elemental spirits, pixies, gnomes, plants, animal spirits, nature spirits, because they're all connected to the vibration of the planet. So if you call them in as an example for information, okay, or if you're calling them in to send energy to Mother Earth, they're all in tune. So sometimes that gives you a little bit of a shortcut. So these will help you to tune directly into Mother Nature. If you're more into using crystals, you want to make sure that they are natural crystals and that they come strictly from the Earth, because, you know, nowadays they can pretty much manufacture anything, so it has to be the real crystals. Like, as an example, like the clear quartz crystal or green stones, as an example, are very good for healing. And this will encourage a stronger connection between you and Mother Earth. Now, if you're planting in your yard, just to give you some examples, you can always ask Mother Nature where. It may be a good spot, as an example, to place your plants. Okay. Or, for instance, some need more sun than others, so you'd be able to have an urge. So if you're asking Mother Nature to help you, okay, you will all of a sudden have an insight or an urge. Let me put it here instead of into this area. Okay. The same thing is if you're in the right spot, as an example, you can say, okay, I know logically that where I bought the plant from said this is the direct light that it needs. And when you put it there, you can always ask Mother Nature, does this feel right? Because sometimes some people are wrong. So you might have gotten somebody that gave you the wrong information. So this is a little bit more direct. And it's really funny. On a practical point of view, you can actually do the same thing. Say in your house you want to place a shed outside. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you're putting up a shed, somewhere in your yard, you would actually be able to find the right place and the exact right spot, where, as an example, it's not going to get flooded or it's not going to attract little, you know, crawly things.
Yeah.
Little critters, you know, little animals. Mm-hmm. You can actually ask for the right spot. And actually, here's a really good exercise. Okay. There's a psychic way, by the way, to get a yes or a no answer. So if you're asking these types of questions as an example of is this the right spot to put this plant or the shed, okay, what you would do is think of a line mentally. Think of a line that divides your body in half. So you could think of a line going horizontally as an example through, say, your belly button. Or you can think of it as going vertically through from the top of your head down your center into the ground. And what you would do is mentally program yourself to connect with nature on the level of saying, if I feel anything, warmth, coolness, anything above, say, the line going across from left to right. So if you're saying, okay, if the answer is yes, I want to feel something. So you'd feel a tingly sensation or a coolness or a warmth, or all of a sudden you would just know. Okay. And if you had a different feeling from below that line, it's telling you no. So mentally you could program anything above the line is yes. Any feeling you get below the line is no. So it kind of gives you a jump. So you can actually do that on your own. And if you do that a couple of times, you'll find that it will start giving you an answer.
Interesting. Very interesting. It's like you have to really become aware of those feelings in your body to actually help you to receive those responses. You know, you have to really connect to it. Now, I have somebody in the chat room who has a comment on today's topic. Mm-hmm. This person is saying, I have always thought that our planet is alive and we do not control it. I say the earth acts like a dog shaking off the excesses to rid herself of what man has done to her.
I like that. I like that one. That was good.
Yeah, that was nice. Now,
and a very good point.
You're right, exactly. Now, creating a stronger connection to our intuitive abilities, like I was saying before, helps us to also forge a stronger connection to the divine. Though we're not always aware of these other beings, they are still there. This will also help us to develop spiritually, which will in the long run raise our own vibrational level here in this realm. So by making ourselves aware of the fact that, you know, Mother Earth is an entity, a living entity of herself, of it, his, her, it, you know, itself, being that she takes on a female entity because she's considered somebody who has the image of nurturing, so that's the reason. But it's an entity that is alive, it's living here, and it gives us the that life spring of vibrancy in our world, you know. So to me, it's such a wonderful, warm image to have, and to be able to connect to that being, that entity, and all the other entities that are a part of our world is a fantastic way of connecting to our divine source, because it's all, we're all connected in every which way.
Oh, exactly.
You know, so any comments on that?
Well, I would say with people that you want to get into the habit of to feel the positive energy consciously, and that's right. Just more practice of being aware and paying attention. Actually, mm-hmm. Here's another way you can use your spiritual connection to Mother Earth. Okay? Mm. If you go camping, as an example, and you turn to find that bugs put a dent in an otherwise happy experience, you could actually create a circle around the area and focus on creating a positive barrier. So you do not want to invite in anything that is not going to be comfortable in your space. So if you attract a lot of bugs in your backyard, again, as an example, create a sacred space. So you're going to say mentally or verbally, and verbally usually works a little bit stronger, but both work. And you can put out something as an example as, this is my space, do not come into it. And it's not a request, it's not a prayer, it's a command. You're telling them, this is my spot, you know, this is my territory. So as an example, I have a quick meditation that I can walk people through. So it's a shamanic modality. So what you want to do, and since we archive, you can do this really at any point. So what you want to do is close your eyes. You take a deep, slow breath, and then you're going to take a crystal that's from the earth Or basically, you can use a rock that you found in the street, in the yard, down the block, in the park. So you take the rock that you might have found on the street, and you hold it in your hand. Now, people always tell you which hand to hold what in. This is not that type of situation. Either hand will work. Okay, so you're holding it in your hand, and you're focusing love and healing energies as white or golden white light flowing from above your head, through your crown chakra, which is at the top of your head, down through your arms, into your hands, and into the rock. And you would do this until you have an urge to stop. So that could take 2 seconds, a couple of minutes. Whenever you have the urge to stop, that's really when you stop. And then open your eyes, decide, and you could just decide, by the way, by taking a walk, but decide where you want to put it. So you're going to put the rock somewhere, like in your backyard or in a park or really wherever you have an urge to put it. And what you're doing is you put your emotional love and healing into the rock. So when you place it down, you're actually connecting that energy directly into the earth. I find that's an easy way for people to do that.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating. Well, you know, talking about Earth, and our chat room visitor had also commented on the same thing I was about the fact that, you know, when I used to feel, you know, when I was younger, every time I felt a little down, I would always go to the Botanical Gardens here in Brooklyn. And immediately, as soon as I would walk through the gates and saw all the greenery, those green vibrations seem to really lift my spirit. And I guess with the 100,000 vibrations per second, that's probably what it was doing. It was lifting its vibrational, you know, healing abilities to help lift me. And as our chat room visitor was saying that she was, or I'm assuming it's a she. I'm sorry if I'm, you know, giving you the wrong gender. I don't know. The earth, such as plants, respond to vibration, our vibrational voice. If you're positive, the plant flourishes. If you're angry, it will wilt and die. Yeah, it picks up on our energy. I was just reading something about, you know, I know you're into Kirlian photography. I was also reading about some Russian scientists who have developed another instrument, just like Kirlian, a GMV, right. I believe it is, that also they're doing extra research to really better understand how nature, people, how we all affect one another. That's really basically what it's coming down to, how our energy affects one another. And they have said that, you know, they always do research on plants, obviously, and they say that, you know, the healing, I guess the vibrations of the healing, because they're able to measure it with this device, they notice how the vibrations increase when a person is being nicer to their plants, let's say, you know, or they're watering it or they're showing it love, as opposed to when they're being angry towards it or, you know, being, you know, saying bad things to it, you know, bad plant, you know, and then the energy starts to decrease. So they're obviously seeing how they're able to measure it now, you know, measure it more than they ever have to see how we affect one another, basically. That's basically what it comes down to.
Yeah, because it's really amazing when you think about something that's visually obvious, like the plant wilting or growing quicker, kind of like heading towards the sun, except with our energies. When you think about that, it's really amazing how we affect other people, and we don't think about it, because there's that ancient law that says like attracts like. So I'm sure people will notice positive people hang out with positive people, negative people, not always, but in general, negative people will hang out more with negative people, because that's where their energies match. That's where, you know, they're actually really comfortable, you know. And I find that we're working more now than ever, you know, so that we can connect to the earth. And we connect a lot more than people realize. So scientists are discovering that there might be a possibility that they actually have aliens, which all that means is that we don't know them. underground and in the depths of the ocean. So now they're searching because vibrationally, you know, we're all connected interdimensionally, intergalactically. We're all connected. So actually they've had a documentary a while ago that it said that off the coast of Florida, they actually have a picture taken that shows some kind of a military, or they say it could be other beings from a different planet, you know. But they're saying that they have some kind of station built inside the coastal wall. So, you know, when you're looking at the documentary, it actually looks like a gigantic, gigantic facility built way, way in the depths of the ocean, but, you know, again, into the wall. So we really don't know if we can do that as, you know, military base or whatever. If we can do that, if you think about anybody that's interdimensional, they should be able to do that easily. So now they're searching the oceans as well as outer space because they feel energetically we're all connected in some way, you know, good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah,
just like with
definitely.
People.
Absolutely. You know, and I know we've had conversations in the past that allude to the fact that these so-called mythological characters like Mother Earth, you know, and stories but going back to the Greek mythology and many other mythologies are more real than we've all realized. If that is the case, I personally feel that that it is, how do these beings turn into fables? I mean, for the most part, people tend to believe in Jesus' presence on Earth, you know, and to me, he was bigger than a lot, you know, bigger than a life entity. So beings such as Mother Nature or Mars or Venus, for instance, always seem to be people, to people to be way too superhuman to have been real. I feel that, you know, basically that anything is possible. So, but how do you feel about that? Because I know we've talked about that at one point.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100%. I look at it as there are many myths like Mother Nature that over the centuries have actually proven to be more than just myths. Like, remember the gigantic people you used to hear about that were mentioned in the Bible?
Yeah.
And recently, well, not that recently, but a while ago, they actually had some documentaries. I love some of those. But the scientists, actually the archaeologists, found bones and skulls in various places to support their reality. So some people feel that they can possibly come from distant planets. Some people feel that they've been here and they just can't figure out why. Because it seems like there was like a little group of them. You know, it's not like everybody at that time was super tall. You know, and then we all change genetically, but they've actually found gigantic bones to support that. And, you know, that's where some of the myths come from. So some myths are based on fact, and over time, I feel that they became stories that somehow had made their way to various cultures. So as an example, there's a belief system. It's called the OSPI, and it's a belief system that explains the planets and the Earth and how everything came about, and it's more detailed, actually, than the information in the Bible. So it's explaining more where everything came from, and it includes deities and, you know, God. So it's not a matter of blasphemy for some people that listen to that, but it's a matter of more of a detailed explanation. Okay, so there was a gentleman named John Ballou Newbrew, and he channeled it. So it took him, really, it's really funny. It's a gigantic book. It only took him about a year to write the book. I think he spent like 15 minutes a day, and that was it. So spirits would write it through him. So he would close his eyes, and he would type away. And at that time, he was typing on, you know, those really, really old typewriters where the keys are still sticking up?
Yeah, the underwood.
So it's like you can't even think of how you can type relatively fast. And this was extremely fast. He would just close his eyes and it would just go. So all of it was channeled. And it's really interesting because a lot of it, a lot of the information in there, with discoveries in the ocean, outer space, planetary, astrological, a lot of the information that he wrote way back with, really, there really wasn't a way to prove it at that time, has now come to surface to be accurate. So then you look at it and you kind of go, okay, well, if that part was accurate, what other parts in the book were accurate? So it's just interesting.
Now, what was the what was
all connects to the planetary energies? This planet, different planets.
Right. What was this person's name that did the channeling?
John. And this is how you spell it if somebody's looking up John. The middle name is Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, and the last name is Newbro, so it's N-E-W-B-R-O-U-G-H. I'm very into OWASPI because basically it tells you about angelic forces. It tells you about Middle Earth. It's really extremely, extremely interesting. It tells you about different deities. Jesus is an example. Prophets. So it really gives you a lot more detail. But the interesting part is when it's talking to you, so as an example, it's talking about Abram, who was called Abraham later. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then it's talking as an example as, and I found this to be interesting, Iwata, which basically was changed to Hiawatha. Because, you know, they always update somewhere. So it's really, really interesting because everything comes down to an interdimensional connection between the energies from Mother Earth, you know, and how it's connected to different spiritual beings through different centuries and how it's connected to the universe. And we're all part of that. So we should be going, yay.
You said,
we're more important than people think. We picked the right planet to incarnate into.
Yeah, the very challenging one at that. You call it OWASPI? Is that
OWASPI.
What you said?
It's called OWASPI. Yeah, and that's one of my main. One of my fields that I find very interesting. So I'm a public speaker, so just like you and I travel for speaking, you know, so if anybody's interested, they can always call us. But this is one of the subjects that I speak about, and it's spelled O-A-H-S-P-E. O-A-H-S-P-O, OASPI. Yeah. And actually, you can... there are fantastic books on it. There's a two-volume edition that basically covers it. And you can actually get that through Inner Light Publications, which is where I got mine.
Didn't Inner Light also do the Course in Miracles, or am I getting the publishing company wrong?
You know, I'm not sure if it did, but he's my publisher.
Oh, okay. You know what? You know, I think
I got it from.
Yeah, the company sounds very much alike.
He might have published that because he publishes a lot of other books besides mine, you know. And actually, I was talking to him the other day. His name is Timothy Green Beckley, wonderful publisher. And I just handed in another part of a book, and I think he said it was somewhere on my 16th book.
Wow.
And I had to laugh because I just write. You think somewhere I would stop and think about it. It's like, you know how it is. That's like when you're doing production, because you're wonderful as a producer. I know you can't say that, but I can brag about you because you are phenomenal, because I've worked with other producers, and they're very nice people, but you're actually phenomenal. And when you're working, you really get into that mode, and you're not thinking, well, is this the third TV show I've done or the 3 millionth one? Oh, and you've done so many. Yeah, and I've worked with you in the past, but you've done so many different shows with other people and other situations, and you always adjust to whatever the show happens to be about. Mine happens to be spiritual, but you deal with other people with other subjects. So I know you always kind of work around whatever their expertise is. It's fantastic. And a lot of that is because I feel you're very creative, so you're analytical, which is great. But you're analytical and creative, so between the production and making sure that everything on the set looks good, because people don't think about that, it really makes a difference. I remember we had a plant once.
Maria, I think we're going to have to
Oh, okay. So I'm just saying that you have a very good knack of placing.
Okay, thank you. Well, I just want to thank everybody for joining us tonight, and give Maria a call at 631-559-1248, and have a nice night, and we'll see you next time on Hidden Mysteries. Bye-bye.
And may God bless you abundantly.